Please call the case.
Case number SCWC-11-775, Van Ness Estate. Arguing for the petitioner, Wayne H. Mukaida. Arguing for the respondent, Steve K. Miyasaka. Argument on the merits.
Good morning, Counselor. Are you both ready to proceed? Counsel? Okay. Before we begin, there is a matter that was just brought to my attention this morning regarding the fact that the attorneys from the Attorney General's office who are representing the DOE in these cases are also involved apparently in the defense of the judiciary in a prohibited practices complaint, which was filed and served on us last week. It's a complaint filed by the Hawaii Government Employees Association, naming as respondents the governor, the State Board of Education, me in my capacity as Chief Justice, the Board of Regents, and the Hawaii Health Systems Corporation Board. It's case number CE09825. I wanted to be sure that the fact that that matter has been filed and that these, if I understand it correctly, same two attorneys are involved in preparing the response on behalf of the judiciary was known to Mr. Mukaida, and to determine whether there's any objection from the petitioner. And if you need to consult with your clients and we have to continue that for that reason, that's absolutely fine, but I want to be sure this is out and on the record and that we have the position of the petitioner. So first I'm going to ask Mr. Miyasaka to please stand and confirm on the record that this is an accurate summary of the state of affairs. Okay. And Mr. Mukaida, does this create any problem for you, or do you need to consult with your client, or are you able in these circumstances to indicate that there is no problem with going forward? Okay, so with that, we'll go forward on that basis. Mr. Mukaida, you've asked to be advised when there's reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. So when there's 5 minutes left in your half hour of allotted time, we'll have a yellow light will come on, and Mr. Miyasaka, we will give you a warning with 10 minutes to go. So please proceed.
Thank you very much. May it please the court. Again, I'm Wayne Mukaida. I represent Mr. Lyndon Van Ness. In my briefs before the Interim Court of Appeals, I argued that Mr. Van Ness met the two-prong test in the Floor case, and I still maintain that position. However, in preparing for today, I did some further research, and I respectfully suggest that the three-prong test in the Floor versus Holden be re-examined, and that the test for compensability of a disease revert to a unitary test. This test served well from 1917 up until May 2000, when the Floor case was decided. The Floor case cited to the Fukuoka versus Dodo mortuary case of 1959. However, in preparing for today, I went back further. In the 1915 version of the statute, there was, in fact, no reference to disease. The compensability statute only referred to injuries resulting from an accident. The reference to disease was added to the statute in 1917. There was not much in the legislative history with respect to disease. However, there is one telling entry, and this appears in the 1917 House Journal at page 863. That's 17 House Journal at page 863. Apparently, the bill being considered referred to a compensable disease as, quote, caused by such employment, end quote. And then additional language is inserted into the bill. The phrase which was added was, quote, or resulting from the nature of such employment, end quote. So the reference to disease, in effect, was broadened, and the test became, quote, disease proximately caused by such employment or resulting from the nature of such employment, end quote. So it appears that the legislature intended coverage of disease to be broadly defined. And except for a minor stylistic change, this is the language that remained through the present.
Doesn't Floor seemed to indicate that they, Floor was really only dealing with the, from the nature of such employment prong of disease. Isn't that one way to reconcile Floor with this case? And your argument that the statute still says proximately caused by?
I would have some problem with that position. I guess one way of looking at it is that in the Floor case, with respect to each of the three prongs, this court cited to specific mainland cases. However, when you look at the cases which were cited, they don't really represent the proposition they were cited for. For example, with respect to the first prong, the court cited to the Booker versus Duke Medical Center case, and that was with respect to the prong which involved disease caused by conditions which are characteristic of or peculiar to a particular trade, occupation, or employment.
Can I just ask a threshold question? This argument is not in your application, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're asking us to overrule Floor, at least in part, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and in your view, is that necessary in order for your client to recover in this case, or is that an alternative argument that you're now making?
It is essentially an alternative argument because I believe my client met all three of the Floor tests.
Okay, and maybe just to focus our discussion, could you just give us a quick overview of what part of Floor you think should be overruled? Or the whole thing?
It's the whole thing. And part of the mystery to me was I had a hard time understanding where this court got the 3-4 criteria. Essentially, what this court did was pick and choose from portions of different state statutes and made them applicable to interpret Hawaii's compensability statute.
Mr. Makaita, I hate to belabor this point, but when I read the Floor case, it talks about 386-3 and says that, by disease, disease is compensable when it is proximately caused by or resulting from the nature of the employment, as you have just said. And then it goes on to say that a disease resulting from the nature of the employment is by definition an occupational disease. And then it sets out the three prongs for occupational disease. Isn't it possible to construe Floor to say it is only dealing with that prong of 386-3 and it is not even addressing disease proximately caused by such employment? Wouldn't that be a way of reconciling Floor with the statute?
That might be true. I think another way of reconciling Floor with the statute is to look back at the four mainland cases which were cited with respect to each of the three criteria. And if you read the cases, they indicate that, in fact, a work connection test is what they're really talking about. In other words, although their own particular state's statute might have said, use this particular language, in fact, well, in essence, the cases say, well, that's not what it really means. What it really means is more of a proximate cause analysis.
Well, Mr. Makaita, you could read Floor as being ambiguous, because if from the language that Justice McKenna referred to, it says proximately caused by or resulting from the nature of the employment. And so if you read the balance of the opinion that follows from that or interpreting that clause, the court seems to focus on nature of the employment. So with respect to whether or not the first part of that phrase is governed by Floor might be open to question, because I would take it your position is that the disease was proximately caused by the employment.
Right? That's correct.
Your position being the conditions of the employment resulted or approximately caused the disease or that aggravation of asthmatic condition of your client.
I think that's correct. However, the unfortunate result of the specific floor criteria is that the fact finders and the decision makers have been applying these three criteria to unduly restrict coverage of disease as defined in 36-3.
I'm looking at your post-hearing, claimant's post-hearing memorandum, and you cited floor.
That's correct, because that's the applicable law that we're facing at the time we were arguing before the Liquor Appeals Board. If I may, getting back to a little bit of the statutory history.
Before you do, let me follow up with one question which you were asked. Didn't you argue? I mean, one of the questions on the application is you ask, should a test similar to the unitary test of Royal State National Insurance be applied to diseases? And that argument, you seem to be, at least indirectly, advocating that the test of floor is incorrect. Or is that not?
No, that is correct. I believe the floor tests are incorrect. And in fact, in at least two cases, this court, in fact, applied the unitary test to disease. And those two tests are the Chung versus Animal Clinic case, where the veterinarian suffered a heart attack while out on the track. And the second case involved a psychological injury case, that's Davenport versus Indian County. And the court in those two cases used the unitary test language and the proximate cause analysis with respect to those two disease claims.
Those are both they were both pre-floor though, right? I know Chung was pre-floor. When was Davenport?
See, Chung was a 1981 case. Floor, yes, the bill was pre-floor. Davenport came in, I believe, 2002, so that was after floor.
Wasn't floor really an attempt to construe the nature of the employment prong of the disease criteria to expand potential workers' compensation availability of work comp? I mean, because wasn't this test developed because of the difficulty of showing proximate causation in certain types of situations like this?
I mean, that might be one way to interpret it, but I think unfortunately in the Floor case, the court referred to an employee's retirement system case at the ICA level, which required that the particular job have some history of connection with the particular disease.
Right, so like hepatitis C for a dentist. You might not be able to show the proximate causation, but it's in the nature of the employment that you are exposed to blood and blood products.
That's one aspect of it, but the other aspect is, in fact, in the ER case that was cited, that involved an office worker who had to breathe mold infested air, and with respect to the ERS, because office workers weren't, as a whole, weren't exposed to mold infested air as a part of their job, that claim was denied.
But the Supreme Court reversed that, didn't
that's
it?
Correct.
So the Supreme Court, in effect, said, went back to the proximate cause idea, that because he was exposed to that, to the particles from the air conditioning.
And, yeah. Unfortunately, that's part of the problem with Floor case because the Supreme Court had already issued its decision, but the Floor case referred only to the ICA case.
Well, I'm not understanding you. The Supreme Court case that said, that reversed the board when the board said it had to be related to his occupation, the Supreme Court, this court said, no, because you could, you look at the circumstances of his employment, and he was exposed to bad air conditioning, and that was a cause, and that was enough to overturn the board.
That's correct.
And that would be supportive of your position.
That's correct, but there are two points I'd make with respect to that. Number one, I think it's somewhat dangerous to compare ERS cases to work comp cases. I think that ERS focuses perhaps more on preserving the corpus of the retirement system, whereas the work comp system, I think...
Well, I'm not sure what your position is, because the ultimate result supports your position in this case, putting aside the purpose of retirement benefits and worker compensation benefits.
Yes.
Let me ask you, what in the evidence, you know, you have Dr. Arora saying, well, you know, it's just a temporary stuff. It's not related to his employment. And then you have, the board only cites to Dr. Matheson for your side. So if you have two contending opinions, how is the board supposed to resolve that?
I understand that the public is looking at the difference in the fact finder. However, in this case, we have, as you mentioned, both Dr. Arora, Dr. Matheson, as well as a consulting physician in California, and also claimant's attending physician in Hawaii, saying that the asthma was aggravated because of fog. And further, in fact, as the Labor Appeals Board pointed out, the only real exposure to fog that Mr. Van Ness had was while he was at work.
Didn't Dr. Arora opine in his supplemental letter that his history is compatible with mild exacerbation of his asthma while in Maui because of fog conditions? It has no relationship to his employment with the Department of Education. Why isn't that substantial evidence that would support the LIRAB's conclusion, even under a unitary test?
Yes, Dr. Arora noted, though, before making that statement, that he did not know the legal ramifications of the relationship between exposure at work and exacerbation of asthma. So I think that conclusion that you just quoted refers to some misunderstanding of the law on the part of Dr. Arora.
That doesn't appear to, it appears to just not be coming. I thought at one point he, in his initial evaluation, he said, look, I don't know what the law is. I'm not going to opine on the law. And then so he talks about what appear to be his medical conclusions. I mean, there's nothing in this particular supplemental opinion that indicates he was attempting to reach a legal conclusion. It simply would appear to be his statement of his assessment of the case, or at least probably the relevant question is, couldn't the LIRAB reasonably read it that way? And if it did, why wouldn't that be substantial evidence? Because we don't get to weigh the evidence ourselves, do we? Or is that what you're suggesting? Do we get to weigh the evidence?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I think it was interesting in reviewing the LIRAB decision that they did not really cite to any particular case. They did not cite to Floor. And so all we have really is, I guess, to assume that they're referring to Floor.
Well, isn't the point, though, that Dr. Arora's supplemental opinion contains, and it's in bold, and I assume he bolded it, it gives a legal conclusion, right? It remains my opinion that there was no occupational injury that occurred in Mr. Van Ness as a result of employment with the Department of Education. Isn't that a legal conclusion?
I believe that's absolutely correct.
And is the doctor qualified to give a
absolutely
legal
not
conclusion? And hasn't this court said the doctor may give medical reasons for causation, but in terms of legal causation, whether there's a connection between the injury or the disease and the disability, that is for the court to draw and
absolutely
not for the doctor to draw.
Absolutely. And
if you look at Dr. Arora's supplemental memo, that opinion has to be ignored, right? I mean, we can't consider that because he's not qualified to give a legal conclusion.
I just smile because Dr. Orr is quite infamous. And
I don't know him, but my question was, if that's a legal conclusion, we can't take note of that, can we? And neither can the board.
I believe that's absolutely correct.
So it's your position that a physician cannot opine in this case on whether, for example, climbing stairs at the workplace was a factor that aggravated or didn't aggravate the condition? That's a legal conclusion that a doctor, so if he could not go to his doctor to ask, present with those symptoms, the doctor would be able to say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't help you there. That's a legal issue. Or is that a medical issue?
Questions. However, if some physical activity, if the doctor recognizes that it exacerbated asthma, I believe that could be part of his medical conclusion.
And okay. In fact, that's what he found, right? He found that there was exacerbation of his asthma, and exactly. Whether it's temporary or whether it's reversible, that goes to damages. The question is whether the exacerbation was approximately caused by his employment.
That's correct. And I would go further and I would suggest that whether it's temporary or permanent would be another fact-finding question which has not been addressed yet.
Mr. McCarty, you said that the letters all stated that the asthma was aggravated by Bach. They didn't all say it was aggravated by his employment. But they all said that it was aggravated by Bach.
Right, but the important thing to remember is that the Labor Appeals Board expressly recognized that in light of, and this is the term they use, in light of Mr. Van Ness's monastic existence, his only real exposure to the bog was at work.
Yeah. Suppose we do have groundskeepers around here and who lead similarly monastic existences, and then they, you know, or in a hermetically sealed, as the state says, apartment, and then we get a bad bog day, and so are they all? Is that a compensable injury? If bog in the air exacerbates asthma?
It possibly could be. I think the fact finder would have to examine the circumstances, where the exposures were, where there's any pre-existing condition that was exacerbated.
Would that be any different from compensability of exacerbation of asthma from mold in the workplace, in the building?
No, I think the same broad unitary test should be applied. And the extent of exposure, background of the claimant, et cetera, would all be part of that unitary test. The problem with floor is that it unduly restricts which employees will fall within the definition of compensable disease.
Are you finished?
No, if the question really is involves a concern about too many disease cases flooding the system. In other words, after the Lawhead versus United Airlines case, which involved a compensable flu condition, whether every sniffles case will be coming before the Department of Labor, and I think that that should not be a concern. And in fact, Larson addressed that, and he said that no, the bulwark against such claims is the causation test. That, in fact, as I think Your Honor indicated, in some cases compensability might be difficult to establish.
Mr. Makaita. I'm not sure if the question I asked earlier was answered. And that is, you have an opinion from Dr. Matheson and you have an opinion from Dr. Arora. So you have two conflicting opinions. How is that supposed to be resolved by the board?
I don't think the relevant opinions are conflicting. They both opine that asthma was aggravated.
I suppose they they conflict in the sense that one side attributes it to, or at least says it's aggravated by his work. And Dr. Arora says, you know, this is related to a It's just temporary stuff that everybody is exposed to. And in this person's history, there's a operation for, I forget, what was it? His, what was it? A hernia operation, which may be a major contribution to his condition. So how is the board supposed to resolve that?
Justice Lacoba, you raised several points, and I'll try and go in reverse order. First, there's an issue of sort of a chicken and egg question. Mr. Van Ness argues that all the coughing which resulted from his exacerbation of his asthma caused, in fact, a further tear of some congenital condition, which led to surgery and partial amputations, et cetera, et cetera. And secondly, Dr. Arora, if you examine his report, his suggestion that the abdominal problems might have been contributing to the health problems that Mr. Van Ness had, those are entirely speculative. He couches all his language in terms of speculation. And then I would also point out that, in fact, Dr. Arora did not even note that, I believe it was August 25, when Mr. Van Ness saw a consult here on Oahu for his breathing problem. Even at that initial consult, there was a notation questioning the involvement of VOG. However, for whatever reason, Dr. Arora missed that or chose not to see it.
Isn't there language in the cases that say, if there's a conflict and there's a reasonable doubt as to where the board should go, that the board should decide in favor of the claimant because of any reasonable doubt should be resolved in favor of the claimant because of the humanitarian purpose underlying the worker compensation statute.
Exactly. This court has repeatedly emphasized that point.
Well, does Dr. Matheson's report say that his condition was work-related, or does it say that it was VOG-related? Dr. Matheson, I'm looking at what I think is Dr. Matheson's report. Does he opine that it's the actual conditions of the claimant's, Mr. Van Ness's employment that caused the asthma to be aggravated in these circumstances?
I don't think he uses that specific language. However, I think it's a common problem that doctors often do not know the specific job characteristics or what is actually done on the job.
Isn't that really a factual question as to where the VOG, I mean, under what circumstances a claimant may have been exposed to VOG, and that's not really a something on which you need a medical opinion?
In other cases, that might be true. However, again, in this unique case, as I referred to earlier, the Labor Appeals Board noted that the only exposure Mr. Van Ness had was on the job.
Didn't Dr. Matheson also conclude that he felt that the condition was so severe and the risk of volcanic pollutants, he said that it behooves his employer not to place him at risk of asthmatic exacerbations by assignment to areas likely to have volcanic exposure pollution?
I'm sorry, I asked
him. Well, in other words, I mean, he felt it was so dangerous for him to be in a workplace where there's volcanic emissions that he said don't place him there because of the severe danger to him. And it spoke about his susceptibility to volcanic pollutant effects.
I believe that's correct. Part of the broader problem also was that there were no other jobs similar to Mr. Van Ness's on the island. That together with the fact that his physician was on Oahu also notated in favor of Mr. Van Ness moving from Maui to Oahu.
And in the DOE recognized how serious the situation. I mean, they approved his transfer.
Exactly. Thank you. I think my time is up. If I may reserve the balance of my time.
You may. Thank you. All right. Mr. Miyasaka, your argument, please.
Good morning. My name is Steve Miyasaka, and I'm the Deputy Attorney General representing the State Hawaii Department of Education on the workers' compensation case filed by Mr. Van Ness. Before Before I begin, I guess, my argument, I guess I'm somewhat troubled and concerned by the argument made by Mr. Mukaida that for the first time, he asked the court to reverse floor. That, at least that's my understanding of what he's asking the court to do. I don't believe that issue has been properly raised or properly briefed, and I know that I have never had the opportunity to brief the issue of whether or not floor should or should not be reversed. So,
do you agree that the statute does have two prongs for the disease issue in terms of compensability of disease for workers' comp, proximate cause or nature of employment?
That's correct. I believe that there's another prong that also which is arising out of the course of employment, but they also have the prong that is approximately connected or resulting from employment. So actually, I guess there are three
prongs for disease. Okay.
Yes, I believe floor could be interpreted as just looking at one particular, I guess, portion of it. And I believe Mr. Mukaida indicated that he's not arguing that the asthma itself was caused by the, I guess, fog or employment, only that the asthma may have been aggravated by employment. So we believe that floor, I guess, based on a theory of start disease, this should be applied. Floor is subsequent to all the cases cited by Mr. Mukaida, so floor was the applicable law, and the court should apply floor as the ICA did and as the Labor Appeal Board apparently did.
Right. Now, does the DOE believe, is it the DOE's position that that an aggravation of asthma, if there is sufficient evidence, is it the DOE's position that an aggravation of asthma by a work condition is potentially compensable?
I believe that's what the statute said. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of your argument of requiring that there is a doctor opining that employment aggravated the asthma as compared to VOG aggravating the asthma, is the LIRAB routinely requiring expert opinions as to causation? In other words, if someone injures their back lifting a box, is it still required, a box at work, is it still required to have a formal doctor's opinion saying that this was caused by the employment?
Well, I believe because of the presumption, that may not be correct. The presumption would require the employer to come forward with
substantial evidence. So your position is that Dr. Aurora's letter is substantial evidence.
That's correct. Our position is Dr. Aurora's letter is the only one that addressed whether or not there was any connection to employment. The other doctors all just indicated that the connection between asthma and VOG.
Do you dispute what Mr. Van Ness says, though, that it was aggravated by him being outside and having to go up and down the stairs? Well, you're not disputing that, right?
I guess the concern we have is that this is on the campus. There are teachers, there are custodians, there are all kinds of employees, and they're all on the campus. They're all exposed to the same box. There are other people that live in the area. That fog supposedly was over the whole island.
How many tech people were there that were having to be outside of work, outside of the buildings, 90% going up and down stairs all day?
I'm assuming that teachers would have to go up and down the stairs. The library is on one side and the administration building is on the other side. I don't know. It's not in the record. But I'm assuming that students would have to go up and down. And teachers would have to go up and down.
So if one person is more susceptible, then that's the basis to not find any compensation because one person is more susceptible. Is that the argument?
Well, I believe what the standard of law requires is just employment in general. And it would not necessarily be limited to just a DOE campus, but employment in general in the area around the school. And
do we really apply floor if we apply a proximate cause test?
Excuse me?
Doesn't the statute say proximately caused?
Yeah.
So do we even need to get to floor and occupational disease, nature of employment?
Well, remember there's a proximately caused and also resulting from employment.
Right, so shouldn't we just be dealing with the proximately caused issue here?
Yeah, and I guess...
I'm sorry, did you just concede that floor doesn't apply in this case? Because the question was, should we be applying a proximate cause test? And as I understood the question, it was in lieu of floor, or that floor would not change or modify that test. So what's your position on that, Counselor?
I'm assuming that, I was assuming that the court was going to apply the resulting from, not the proximate cause part. Perhaps that would have been the state from my part.
Well, the statute gives different ways of finding compensability for disease.
That's correct.
And it appears, I mean, the way I'm interpreted for, obviously, is that it's only dealing with the nature of employment prong.
That's
right. Mr. Miyasaka, Mr. Van Ness didn't need anyone to draw a connection between the disease and his work, right?
There was no medical evidence to link his asthma.
Yeah, and he didn't need that, did he?
I believe he did because we had doctors.
What do we make of the presumption which says that you are to presume at the outset without the claimant making any proof that the injury is work-connected?
Well, we have Dr. Laura's report.
So if we didn't have that presumption, you wouldn't have to prove anything, would you?
Well, I'm assuming Dr. Aurora's report is in the record. And it's, yeah,
but your position is Dr. Aurora's report is needed because it's substantial evidence which overcomes the presumption.
That's our position.
So that if the presumption exists and the presumption is that the injury is work-connected, then that's established by statute, isn't it?
There's a statute that creates that presumption, yes.
And so isn't it a fact, and I think the this court has said over and over again, that this presumption applies, and it was a legislative decision to put that presumption in the law because any injury suffered by an employee should be a cost of business. In this case, I guess it's the state's business, but still, that's the whole purpose of having a presumption, right?
That's correct, but I would point out to the court that I don't believe the legislature ever intended for anything that happened at work or every single thing that happened at work.
I didn't say that, but in this case, the presumption operates, doesn't it?
There's a presumption, and the report from Dr. Akolba, the report from Dr. Aurora was the evidence presented by employer to the director and to the Labor Appeals Board that was substantial evidence that rebutted that presumption.
And this court has said over and over again that the burden on the employer is a heavy burden to overcome that presumption.
I understand that, but Dr. Aurora's opinion was not controverted by any medical evidence.
Well, is whether or not substantial evidence exists a question of law or a question of fact?
As to whether or not Dr. Rohrer's report is
substantial evidence.
I guess it's a question of possibly mixed law and fact.
And it is your position that Dr. Rohrer's report is relevant and credible evidence of a quality and quantity sufficient to justify a conclusion by a reasonable person that an injury or death is not work connected?
Yes. No, I understand the concern raised by Justice Akolba about whether or not this is or isn't a, I guess, legal opinion by Dr. Aurora as opposed to a medical opinion, but in that report he does say that it, meaning the asthma condition, has no relationship to his employment with the Department of Education. And to me, that's a clear medical statement. And that's in the paragraph above the section that was cited by Justice Akolba. So
isn't it somewhat contradictory, though? Because doesn't he also indicate that there was at least a mild exacerbation of asthma caused by Bog?
Correct. He did indicate that there was an exacerbation.
And he is not a fact finder as to where that Bog exposure occurred, correct? Isn't that a question of fact?
To me, yes. It was not his decision.
And didn't the LIRAB indicate that it was actually work exposure to Bog that that work exposure to Bog did cause problems?
What LIRAB found was that the exposure suffered by Mr. Van Ness was no different from exposure to people living on Maui off the Lahaina Luna campus.
So LIRAB is now saying that if you are more susceptible, there is no potential for compensation. In other words, if you are an overweight person with a pre-existing back problem and you pick up a box and you re-injure your back, that is not compensable because you are more susceptible to a back problem.
I don't believe that that is what Lyra is saying, and your example would be different from this example, because this example, the board was using the test 5-4, which had to do with whether or not it was or wasn't, exposure in excess of the hazards of ordinary employment. And the board found that there was not. And in this particular case, we point out that it wasn't only the board, it was also the director who reviewed the case before it went to the board, who also reached the conclusion that there was no compensable injury. The board made that same conclusion, and the ICA made that conclusion. So three different times this particular case has been reviewed, and we've all reached the conclusion that under four, that particular aspect of the floor test was not met.
If floor applies.
Excuse me?
If floor applies.
I believe floor applies because they cited floor. Going back to the Labor Appeals Court decision.
This court is not bound by the party's interpretations of the law, is it?
That's correct. The court is not bound by the party's position, but their position from the very beginning was that floor applied. And our, concern that we raised in our memorandum is that when the board drafted the initial issue, it was under the arising out of in a course of employment standard, not the other portions of the standard that we've been addressing today. The pretrial order from the board specifically said the issue that the board was going to decide was whether or not Mr. Van Ness sustained a compensable respiratory injury on or about on December 23rd, 2005, arising out of in the course of his employment. That's the issue they were deciding, not an occupational disease claim.
Who framed the question? Was that the way the question was framed by the petitioner?
The board framed that issue. Mr. Mukaida tried to get the board to frame the issue differently. But
as proximately caused by?
He tried to have it framed as to whether the injury was compensable, but the board did not accept his proposal. It determined that the issue was going to be whether or not it rolled out of the course of employment. And our position is that was the issue that the board should have decided, not, using the floor test or looking at a disease case. And under the finding the fact that were not challenged by the appellant, there was clear evidence that they did not meet that test, that the board was correct.
Mr. Miyasaka, I'm sorry. Were you done? Were you done? If not, you can finish your answer, then I had a question.
I was just going to point out that the board should have just limited its finding to whether or not there was an injury arising out of the course of employment.
See, how can we be confident that the board here actually examined the issue of proximate cause as it relates to this particular employee? Because in the course of its conclusions of law, it says these exposures are no greater than that of the general public. The VOG was in the air, and the general public breathed the same air. There's nothing in there to indicate that it was focusing on this particular employee's experience in his particular workplace, including the requirement that he walk up and down the stairs throughout the course of the day. It doesn't appear, there appears to be, and perhaps in reliance on floor, it's hard to tell because the LIRAB doesn't quote to floor, but it appears to be focusing on some notions other than that approximate cause. Is that, what's your answer to that concern?
Well, I guess my concern is that I wasn't at the board hearing. I didn't participate in the board hearing. I didn't present arguments at the board. I didn't become involved in this case until the briefs were submitted to the ICA. So that, you know, was my involvement. So as far as the record, I'm really limited to, you know, the record that the court has, which is the record on appeal.
Well, let me ask you this.
And I wouldn't presume to guess what the board intended by the phrase.
If, as a matter of law, if the asthma was aggravated by both the combination of VOG and the requirement that he walk up and down stairs for much of the day, would he be entitled to recover? There seems to be a debate about whether, in fact, let me put it to you in that way. If that were the facts, that indeed his asthma was aggravated by walking up and down the stairs, should he be able to recover? He's required to walk up and down the stairs as part of his job.
Possibly, but it would depend on the medical evidence that was in the record. And again, we have a medical evidence from Dr. Laura, who was familiar with the facts of what Mr. Van Ness's employment was.
But he never said, Dr. Laura never said it wasn't caused by, his aggravation wasn't caused by his work.
He indicated that the exacerbation was caused by Bob, not employment.
Right, so how does that defeat the presumption? Or the evidence that was adduced?
Because he indicated it's not related to employment.
But we don't know what he's using a legal standard that we have no idea what he's using.
Well, we know that he was told during his interview with Mr. Van Ness what Mr. Van Ness's work duties entailed. And if you read Dr. Laura's report, which was his initial report.
So is he now drawing, is Dr. Aurora now opining on Mr. Van Ness's credibility? If Mr. Van Ness testified or told Dr. Aurora that the only time he was really exposed to VOG was at work, and if Dr. Aurora says it was VOG that exacerbated but it wasn't his employment, isn't he by saying that he doesn't believe Mr. Van Ness when he says that his VOG exposure was just with respect to work? In other words, is he testifying as a medical doctor, or is he testifying as to the claimant's credibility?
I don't believe that Dr. Aurora necessarily challenged the claimant's credibility in his report regarding description of the work duty. There might have been concerns raised by Dr. Aurora as to other information that the claimant had provided, but I don't believe that it had to do with the description of his work duty.
He certainly doesn't come off as a malingerer. I mean, even after the surgery, he has fingers removed, and he still goes back to Lahaina Luna, even though the approval had been transferred. He even returns to work.
Well, I understand that. I'm not saying that he was a malingerer. I'm not saying, you know, any such thing. I'm just saying that under the applicable law, we believe that LIRAB correctly applied the floor decision, and based on the record that LIRAB had in front of it, that was an appropriate decision, and the findings of fact by LIRAB are not clearly erroneous, and the decision was based on the correct law, correct application of the law, and that the LIRAB decision should be affirmed.
Mr. Miyasaka, in answer to the Chief Justice's question a few questions ago, you said that in response to his inquiry about whether or not any aggravation would be compensable, you said, well, it depends on the medical evidence. But hasn't this court said, if there's, if the employment situation contributed in any way to the claimant's condition, then that would be compensable?
I agree that the Supreme Court has held a number of times that the slightest aggravation is all that the claimant needs.
Right. In fact, we said rather the primary purpose of medical evidence for the purposes of determining legal causation should be whether the employment situation in any way, and that's emphasized in the opinion, contributed to the employee's injury. So any slight aggravation that's caused by employment conditions would incur compensation.
Well, could, but
or liability on the part of the employer.
Well, it would depend on the record that the board would decide in the case.
So in any way you agree would include any exacerbation or aggravation of the injury?
I believe that that's the standard, but as to whether or not the factual record supports that conclusion, I believe in this case the record doesn't support that conclusion.
Mr. Misaka, you're saying that the aggravation of the asthma, because he was on Maui and there was fog, is not supported by the record?
No, I guess I was discussing the hypothetical posed by Justice Nicole about whether or not the slightest aggravation is all that it takes for it to be found compensable.
You don't really contest that it was caused by him being at the school and going up and down the stairs with the fog. You don't, so which he did as because of his employment. Is your problem more with the nature of the employment?
Because no, I think our problem is the standard, you know, the test used by the board, you know, with the three-prong test in floor. And under the three-prong test in floor, based on the record, there was sufficient evidence presented by the employer to rebut the presumption and have the injury found not compensable.
Are you conceding that there was proximate causation of aggravation of asthma?
I'm saying under this case, no, because of the medical evidence in the record. I'm saying as a legal theory, yes, it's possible, but under the factual records of this case, no.
Can I ask you, coming back to a point that Justice Pollack made quite some time ago, talking about Dr. Matheson's report, Dr. Matheson says it behooves his employer not to place him at risk of asthmatic exacerbations by assignments to areas likely to have volcanic exposure dash pollution. Based that conclusion and plus the testimony of the claimant, doesn't that add up to substantial evidence that the walking around the premises is an aggravating factor or was an aggravating factor?
Yes.
And then what's the correct test to apply at that point? If you have substantial evidence going either way, is there does a presumption require the board to tilt in favor of finding for the claimant?
Well, I guess it would depend on how you interpret the presumption.
That's my question.
I wouldn't necessarily interpret the presumption as broadly as that.
How would you interpret it?
I would interpret it that the board is an expert board. They're supposed to determine these types of cases, and the court should defer to the board's expertise. And I believe this court has already held on at least one occasion that the board's decision should be presumed valid unless there's a compelling reason for the court to reverse it.
As long as there's substantial evidence supporting the board's outcome, we should affirm it. I guess that's my question. Is that the standard in your view? And if so, what was the case you cited for that proposition?
I believe that is the standard of review, yes.
So are you saying LIRAB actually dealt with this as an accident case?
Excuse me?
You said that LIRAB dealt with it as whether or not it arose out of and in course of employment, correct?
That was the issue that LIRAB...
So, but that is the accident prong of compensability.
That's correct.
So they didn't even actually address the disease prong? Is that what you're saying now?
I'm saying that they were supposed to address the accident prong. But
why? How was this an accident?
That's the issue that the board said it was going to address. I mean, there's a pretrial order issued by the board that's in the record, and the board stated that that was the issue that they were going to decide.
And so they didn't even decide whether or not this was a disease proximately caused by or resulting from the nature of employment.
Okay. It's in ICA 10, page 121, pretrial order filed July 1st, 2009. The sole issue to be determined is whether claimant sustained a personal injury to his respiratory system on December 23rd, 2005, arising out of and in the course of employment. That's the issue that the board was supposed to decide.
No. I guess, Justice McKenna, well, I don't want to presume, but if this is a disease case and not an injury case, isn't the board wrong as a matter of law when they're applying the wrong part of the statute?
Well, I can only say that that's the issue that was the board determined was going to be considered.
Right, and are they wrong?
And whether or not you know, the board was incorrect in making that the issue, that's not something that Mr. Mukaida has raised. And if you know this was the wrong issue, then our position would be that the court should reverse and remand the case back to the board to have the board describe the issue as a disease claim and decide the disease claim rather than an injury by accident claim.
But isn't that the position the state took, that this is, because it was framed that way by the board, this is an accident case, and they haven't proved when the accident took place?
They haven't shown that anything.
My question was, isn't that your position as reflected in the brief?
That's what we wrote in the brief, yes. And again, our position is basically that in this particular case, the court in the past has given deference to board decisions because it's an expert board. And in this case, we don't see any compelling reason for the court to.
Is it really the DOE's position that this is an accident case and not a disease case?
I'm not saying that.
As an officer of the court, is that really your position?
I'm saying that that's what the pretrial order said. I wasn't there at the.
I'm sorry, but you're here arguing on behalf of the DOE. So is it your position that this is an accident case and not a disease case?
I'm saying that's what the board said the issue was. And I'm not commenting on whether or not it should or should not have been placed that way. I'm just saying that's what the board said the issue should have been.
Thank you.
Did you want to wrap up at all? Some time remaining, or is that, have you been able to cover everything you had, Mr. Misa? All right, very well. Thank you. Mr. Mukaida, your rebuttal.
Earlier this morning at about 8:30, I was back at the Department of Labor at the Disability Compensation Division arguing a case. But the reason I bring this up is just to remind everyone that the hearings officers at the DCD level are not necessarily attorneys. In fact, they are not, with the exception, I think, of two of the hearings officers. And the reason that this is important is that we need to have a clear test to be applied at the Department of Labor. And I think that the floor tests are confusing and have been misapplied. And in fact, in this very case, the Labor Appeals Board itself took the first floor criterion and said, did not apply it to the particular job that Mr. Van Ness had, but instead wanted to take a look at all jobs as technology coordinators as a class. And in doing so, they found that, breathing fog is not one of the characteristics of that job, and so therefore it cannot be an occupational disease. And in fact, applying that same test even more broadly, it's hard to think of any case involving fog which would be compensable, simply because, as the board stated, everybody has to breathe.
Did the board do that? It appeared the ICA did that. Are you confident the board had that same error in its analysis?
I may have misquoted it, but I believe the effects are the same with both the LAB and ICA opinions.
Mr. Mukaida, my first question is, do you think there's a difference between whether the disease is proximately caused or resulting from employment and whether the disease is caused or resulting from the nature of employment?
That is specific language which was inserted, as I pointed out, as the...
By reading the statute.
Yes. Historically, that second phrase was added by the legislature specifically, and I think it broadens the coverage of disease. But I would also like to point out in that regard that the question has been raised, does it make a difference whether it's a disease or an accident? And I would suggest that the way the agency and the court, this court has been approaching it, is that it really doesn't make a difference, that the unitary test should apply to both accident and disease claims. And as I pointed out, that was the language used, I believe, in the Chung versus Animal Clinic case, as well as the Davenport case. And also, in Royal State versus LIRAD, and if I may quote HRS 36-3 makes no differentiation between organic and psych injuries arising out of employment relationship. And we do not believe this court should impose such a distinction, end quote.
Mr. McKaiden, if the board was wrong as a matter of law, if we decide that, what do you think of Mr. Miyasaka's suggestion that it be vacated and remanded?
I believe we have enough before this court to find that we're dealing with a compensable injury involving disease, and that Mr. Van Ness's claim should be found compensable.
Even if you think also the board applied the wrong standard?
Again, I would stand by my prior answer. I believe we have enough.
Is it your position that if the correct standard is applied, then there is only one possible conclusion, that this is a compensable disease case?
I believe that's correct.
And
is
why?
Is it your position that whether or not the employer has adduced substantial evidence to overcome the presumption, that is a question of law?
That may be, as Mr. Miyasaka indicated, a combined question of law and fact. I believe we have enough in this case to find compensability.
Well, isn't there, we've heard strong arguments on both sides. Dr. Arora's opinion, argued by the state, Dr. Matheson's opinion, testimony from the claimant. Why would we, how can we say as a matter of law that there is no way that the LIRAB could possibly find that there was no causation in this case, or no, it was not proximately caused?
I believe that will involve an examination again of Dr. Arora's testimony, Dr. Arora's reports, and I believe it's clear from his reports that he did not have a clear understanding of what Mr. Van Ness's sole exposure was to fog. I think it's very clear in the record that the only exposure was at work. And that as a result, under Hawaii law, that the claim should be compensable.
So we would have to discount Arora's report, in other words, or find reasons to hold that it doesn't say what it appears to say, which is that there was no connection to his employment. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct.
Okay.
Well, the other basis, which is repeated over and over again in our cases, is that if there's conflicting evidence and there's a reasonable doubt as to which should apply, then it must be resolved in favor of the complainant.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. And also, I would emphasize that unlike a tort case, here in workers' compensation, if there's even the slightest exacerbation of a prior problem, it's deemed compensable under work comp. Just to close, I see my time's up.
Yeah, if you would just wrap up.
Thank you. I don't think that anybody will ever be able to think of all the jobs that might become involved, nor all of the diseases that might be involved in a workers' compensation case. In fact, just this past Tuesday, the AMA decided that obesity, in fact, is also a disease, and then that may be involved in future workers' compensation cases. And in fact, it has in more than a couple of my cases. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you to both of our counsel this morning. The court will take this matter under advisement.